We've begun to savor the opening sugya in the parak, the sugya of Holchei Usha. The Holchei Usha, these Talmidei Chachamim who were traveling to secretly making their way, the Mesiras Nefesh, to meet with the rest of the Sanhedrin in Usha, in one of the Esar Galios. So they had this idea that Rabbi Yochanan repeated to the other Amoraim, that the source for this concept of Gimel Shah of Cheskes Gimel Shanim, or the source for one aspect, that's a question of the Girsa of the Bach, the source at the very least for the fact that Cheskes Karkos, that the Shir is Gimel Shanim, so that is the Holchei Usha suggested that Shor HaMuad, which Rashi and I think the other Rishonim also understand, means specifically Shor HaMuad in the Hezek context. The first three negichas, it's a the first three negichas, it's chatzin nezek, and only from the fourth negicha and on, you have nezek shalem. So that's the mokar, this idea of cheskas gimel zimni, chazaka of three times. Which, by the way, the Gemara in Bava Kama and elsewhere points out there are other applications of the concept of cheskas gimel zimni other than Shar Tam Shar Amuad. The Gemara talks about others. The Gemara talks about, for instance, the Gemara talks about Katlanis. You have a woman who marries, and her husbands keep, she keeps losing husbands, so we're worried perhaps that there's some sort of illness, or there's some sort of bad mazel. The Gemara talks about, we'll get to in Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim is not the one who invented this, the Gemara talks about, where it talks about in the context of Nida, a woman may have a regular cycle, and three rounds of a regular cycle already establish that that's her cycle. That also relates to this idea of the Cheskes Gimel Zimni. So it's not out of the blue that the Gemara says, "Ooh, I have a din of three. Maybe it's based on Shor HaMuad." There are already Limaskana, several other areas of halacha where we apply the notion of Cheskas Gimel Zimni, Chazaka three times. The Chiddush of Holchei Usha is Cheskas Gimel Shanim is also an application of Cheskas Gimel Zimni, and that the Gemara is not taking sitting down. The Gemara is going to have a series of kashas and ultimately whittle it down to there can only be certain Tanoim who might subscribe to this. Tanoim Rabbi Shmuel in the Sefer of our Mishnah of Chav Cheslev and Aleph, he's the only one who could really say this idea of the Holchei Usha. Other Tanaim must have some other theory. The Gemara is going to go on Daf Chav Tes to work on. Now, let's take a look, though. So last time we began to look at the sort of an overview. Last time we began to think about some of the background of the sugya and what it is that's driving the kasha. We began, in a very preliminary way, to sort of contextualize this specific... To contextualize the Mishnah of Cheskas Karkos as a specific subset of the larger context of Safik Mammon and Muchzakas, and began to think about that in a preliminary way. We're going to come back to that soon. And we sort of overviewed, and that allowed us to appreciate where the Gemara is coming from in the Shpar, the strength, the force of the Kasha. And we also had a chance to sort of overview the Gemara's four kashas against Holchei Usha. The second kasha was about Shlo B'fanav, Machal Shlo B'fanav. The second kasha was about, what do you need taina at all? You don't need any taina. The Gimel Zimini itself should create the new Metzias. The third kasha was more of a technical question of Shlo B'fanav, by how could it be that Machal Shlo B'fanav works in the world of Cheskas Habatim that comes up later in the Lamids, if there's a special, there's a din that the edim about a shar that's going to turn the tide from shar tam and shar muad, that has to be delivered b'fanav. And that the Gemara also dispenses with as being a special gzeras hakasa. We'll get to that as well. And the fourth kasha, where the Gemara is already pressing on the equation or the analogy, the Holchei Usha drawing an analogy between 3 years and three negichos, and the Gemara in the last kasha sort of presses on that. It's not really so parallel, because negichos are three separate, distinct, whole events. each negicha is an event. The shahr attacks whatever its target is, another shahr, a para, a motorcycle, a house, whatever it was, a fire hydrant, whatever it is that the shahr likes to attack, the shahr attacks, and then the Edom come to Beis Din, we hold the owner of the shahr into Beis Din, and then the Beis Din listens to the Edom, and Beis Din gives a psak, and then the fellow has to pay chatzi nezek. That's an entire event, which may or may not be timed down. That was the machlokes of Yehuda and Reb Shimon. Yehuda and Meir. As the Gemara says, it's hard to know, is that really comparable to ongoing residence? I'm living on land. I'm operating a factory. I'm operating a merchatz, whatever it is. I have a greenhouse, which may be an equivalent of state-based hashlachim. I'm operating a greenhouse. I'm growing herbs in my greenhouse all year long. How does that, this ongoing usage, how does that correspond to Gimel Negichos? Here's just 3 years, just a sheer of an ongoing event. Gimel Negichos are three separate cycles, three separate events. That's what the Gemara says. Ultimately, it's only Rabbi Yishmael who doesn't see the 3 years as so significant either in the Sefer of the Mishnah. Okay, so that's where we're going. I thought the Gemara is going to continue to refine and push and polish. And each kasha sort of is each of the four kashas is in a certain sense uncovering another angle of how we think about this analogy of the Holchei Usha made between the Gimel Shan and the Gimel Negichas. But let's start now. Last time we were looking at the big picture, let's zero in on the first kasha. Let's see inside. Let's see what it takes. Let's start again from the beginning of the Gemara, and then we'll dive into Rashi and Tosis. Amr b'yechanan. Shamatim Holchei Usha. I heard from the Holchei Usha, or maybe he even means I heard the name of the Holchei Usha, because ultimately the Gemara is going to say Holchei Usha b'Shmuel. Bishmal was several generations from Rabbi Yochanan. Shamata mehochei usha, shayu omerim, minayin lechazaka gimel shanim, or minayin lechazaka shehi gimel shanim. How do I know the concept of cheskes gimel shanim? Or how do I know that cheskes harkos, that the sheer cheskes harkos is 3 years, the 2 years? So, mishar amud, from the din of shar amud in parshas mishpatim, ma shar amud came shenach gimel legiches, nafek le mecheskes tam kam mecheskes muad, after 3 rounds of negicha, after 3 rounds of the shahr attacking its victim, and then the owner being holden to Beis Din, and the Eidim Rameya, and the Beis Din Paskins, yes, a negicha happened, and yes, that's your chayv chatzi nezek, and that's strike one, or that's strike two, or that's strike three. So after 3 rounds of that, he switches from being a tam to being a muad. Hachanami came into Chalot Lashnin. After 3 years, again, Talas is three. It's a classic example, as you know, of a shin in Hebrew often showing up as a tough in Aramaic. Talas, not always. Shinin is shinin. Sometimes a shin in Hebrew will also be a shin in Aramaic. Shana doesn't change, but Shalosh does. In fact, the word for six in Aramaic, ironically, is Shita. Shin, Yud, Taf, Aleph. The first shin doesn't switch over. The second shin does. I'll leave aside the linguistics of it. But it's worth being at least aware of that mitzias. The kevin d'achala telas shenin, once you've done an achila of 3 years worth of achila, nafak la mirshus mocher, nafak is it leaves, it's yotze, mirshus mocher, v'kayim ala mirshus lokeach. That is holchei usha. And the Gemara jumps in with its first kasha. That's really the case. Things should work differently. Ima shor amud ad negich revis on the chayiv. The shor amud, it's not really after three, it's after four. And after the third negicha, Beis Din says, the negicha's over, we drag the guy into Beis Din, a day later, a week later, whatever it is, when you finally get together the Edom and put everything together, a month later, and we say to him, hey, that was negicha number three, your chayiv how much? Chatzi nezek. When did he pay nezek shalim? Only after negicha number four. So, by analogy, after year number three, it should still be shal hamocher. It should only be after year number four that should be shal hamocher. That's the Gemara's kash. Hachanami et shana revius lo kaim b'rishusei. It shouldn't switch over to rishus ha lokeach, the rishus ha machazik. It shouldn't move out of the rishus of the marakama until after year number four. The same way you don't switch the din from chatzi nezek shalim until until after Negicha number 4. So Gemara says that's not a kasha. Achi hashta, what type of kasha is that? What type of tsushta? What type of equation you're making here? Hasa miki nachu gimel negichas havi muad. Over by the shara muad, he really becomes the muad after negicha number 3. The idach kilo nachach ma'al shalim. It's just that the reason why you only see the ramifications after negicha number 4, because being a muad, we don't give out stickers or badges. We don't give out t-shirts that say, I am a shor ha-muad. So if we would, then really the shor, we would give the shor the badge right after negicha number 3. After negicha number 3, we come into Beis Din, the Eidim come, they're made b'fnei the Baal HaShor, and the Dayanim listen to the Eidim, and they cross-examine them, and they deliberate, and the Eidim come and say, we have a psak din, we decided that there was a third negicha, and you are chayv chatzi nezek, and lehev yadua, that your shor is now a shor hamud from this point on. That's not going to happen af kamina until a fourth negicha. Look, if the shor never is nogeach again, so it'll never matter, it'll never be expressed practically. We're not going to see the nafkamina in the being the shor hamud until the next negicha, which might be tomorrow, it might be next month, it might be next year, it might be never. But it is a shor hamud now. You don't see it until after the fourth negicha. Here, I don't need a fourth event. In other words, what the Gemara is really saying, Lachar, is that the fourth negicha is not parallel to the first three. The first three are driving the din. The fourth is just an after effect. I'm sorry?
Manifestation.
A manifestation.
Oh.
Very well. Well said. Well put. Well put. Yishai.
If you sell the shor before the fourth negicha, then it would still be
a muad. Ah, right. It's a good point. Right. If I were to sell the shor after negicha number 3, I would have to tell the guy, you should know this is a shor hamuad. Right. If there were to be a din that a shor hamuad has to wear a red collar instead of a white collar or a black collar, you would have to put, if there were such a din, you have to mark your shor hamuad. So then you would do that right. We have to brand your shor hamuad. You would do that right after negicha number 3. There is no such din. So the first manifestation is la'achar another negicha. But you're right. As soon as negicha number 3 happens and the cycle is completed, the Beis Din gives a psak, it is a shor hamuad. So that's the Gemara's answer. Yeah.
So the Gemara is saying the main part, like the reason that it's the third is because that's when the transition takes place. Transition from
right. Fundamentally, transition takes place after negicha number 3. You don't see the ramifications until there's another, if and when there's another negicha. But nothing changes at negicha number 4. Negicha number 4 is not creating the change. Negicha number 4, as Chaim said, is the manifestation. That's when you see the payback of the change. But here, I don't need another year to see the payback. If the change happened, so now the very next day, if the marakama only shows up the first day of year number 4, the machse will say, I already have my chesed gilma shanim. I already have my chesed gilma zimni. We're done. We're in the bag. Yeah, Avidan, then Yehuda.
According to the Bach, why are we so certain that when he says shehi gilma shanim, why are we so certain that means that like it could be chesed gilma shanim right away? Well, maybe he's asking it could be longer.
Maybe. Well, let's keep it.
And that would fit. Wouldn't that fit? I don't remember why, but I thought it would fit better with the Gemara, because maybe could. Yeah, why can't we? Why is there? Can we say that he's saying longer? Like maybe he's.
So yeah, you're going back to the point raised last time again that the Bach one word difference is certainly changing the focus that the Gemara as it stands. Minayin l'chazaki gimel shanim. The answer is mishor hamuad is. Sounds like it's saying the very concept of Cheskes Karkos. That's what it sounds like. I can't prove it, but it sounds like we're asking the very concept of Cheskes Karkos, where does that come from? Sounds like, if it were not for Shor HaMuad, I would have said there's no such thing as Cheskes Karkos. Which would sound like no matter how long I live on the land, it doesn't give me rights to hold on to it. Whereas saying the Bach's Gersa, Meinayin L'Chazakeh, Shehi Gimel Shanim, how do you know that Chazakeh is specifically 3 years. You're right. At the very least, it's focused not so much on why does the concept exist, but why is it 3 years as opposed to some other shear?
Yeah,
what other shear would there be? So if I didn't have any other data...
Maybe,
but there's no basis for it. I do have a basis for saying immediate chazaka, and that's cheskes metaltum. I can't prove it, but at least it gets you thinking. And we're about to, but let's dive into shakva. Unless there are more questions that are directly germane, let's dive into shakva, into Rashi Tosis. Yeah.
Right,
the Bach sounds like the Bach's reading the Gemara is saying, I know there's a concept of chazaka, of cheskes karkos, but how did Tanam get the specific shear of 3 years? And the answer is, oh, where did number three come from? The answer number three came from Shor HaMoed. It sounds like, it sounds from the Bach like the Gemara's question is a step two question. I know there's a concept of cheskes karkos, but now I want to understand the first detail that appears in the Mishnah is Gimel Shalom. Where does the Gimel Shalom come from? So, but it sounds like the question, the Bach's version of the Gemara, the question is somewhat less fundamental than in our Gersa. In our Gersa, it sounds the question is, where does this whole concept of cheskes karkos come from at all? And the Bach is saying, no, I know this cheskes karkos. How did we know that? Where did we get 3 years from? Mr. Benoff.
Where would the Bach get the assumption that we know the cheskes karkos exists?
That's a good question. Let's keep our eyes open. Now, again, offhand I would say, I know that such a thing as chazaka, we spent time earlier in the year looking for the source of different types of chazaka. So it's not shocking that we're going to presume there's a the presuming presumption, that we're going to presume that the halacha has a concept of chazaka. Yeah?
I'm curious, what do you mean that it only manifests itself after four negichos? It only manifests itself after three negichos, except, like I said, if you sell it, you have to say it's a muad, and if someone kills it, they have to pay for the value of it.
Okay, that's true. That's true.
How does it only manifest?
But all those things are because... Were it to be nogech, again, you're going to have to pay nezek shalom. And that's why its value, its market value, decreases dramatically, because up until the third negicha, up until the psak of the basin after the third negicha, you have some liability, but it's limited. Right? The most you're going to pay is chatzin nezek migufo. Once you have three strikes and you're out, if another negicha occurs, who knows how much you're going to have to pay? You may be on the hook for $250,000. If the shor goes and attacks a Bentley, you're in big trouble. The shor goes and attacks a building. I don't know. Up until this point, it was. But again, the point is the fact that from this point on it's going to be chayiv nezek shalom. The fact that if there's going to be a negicha revius, you will be chayiv nezek shalom in aliyah. Unlimited liability, so that's why it's going to change the conversation you have with a potential buyer. It's going to change the proper market valuation. It's going to change, but all that flows from the fact that if there will be a negicha revius, you're going to be chayiv nezek shalom. Now let's come. Now let's dive into.
Is that the only difference? It's the only difference between the mor and the tam is just if it.
Right. Yeah, I think so. So let's begin to take a look. So what does Tosfos say? So Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos, is very bothered. Hey Malari, my parech, what type of kasha? Says the Reb. Hahachi yalv mishor amud. What was the havamina? Tosfos says. What was the havamina that the proper analogy would be to say I need 4 years on the land. Here's how we're learning from shor amud. Isn't it self-evident that didn't I know the teretz right away? I mean, it's such an obvious teretz. Yeah, of course, I don't actually pay Nezek Shalom until the fourth time. But obviously, the reason I pay Nezek Shalom for the fourth time is because the status already changed. Because after the third Pesach of Bezin, they said, you should know that your animal is now a Nagchan. Your animal is a confirmed Nogeach. And beware. Of course, the teretz is so obvious. What was the kasha?
That's why you get, it deserves a hachiyashta. Doesn't that normally introduce?
Okay. Right. So you're saying maybe hachiyashta. That's a great point. This is a silly question. What was the hachmina? So isn't it a pashat that from 3 years and on? So what is the re-answer? The re-answer is, I know we left a hanging line in the kasha. The re-answer, let's try to explain a little bit of what the kasha was. The hachi yalev. Sperry is right, that the fact that the Gemara's answer is introduced to the hachi hashta means that we really think that the kasha was a very surprising kasha. But let's at least try to explain what the words meant. We thought that the havmin is to think like this. After three times, you change from pain to pain ezek shalem. Three uncontested years. In other words, what changed from that from the Tarsus Kasha to Tarsus? In the Kasha, they were saying, isn't it obvious that we're looking at a status change? It moved from Cheskas Eino Nachin to Eino Cheskas Nachin to Cheskas Nachin. The sure status changes. And what Tosis explains in their Teretz explain the Gemara's Kasha, is well, the Gemara's Kasha was not to look at the underlying status of the item, but to just look at phenomena, just to look at the Psak. L'maisa, the Psak is Chatzin Nezek, the Psak is Chatzin Nezek, the Psak is Chatzin Nezek, fourth time Psak is Nezek Shalom. Okay. So the psak, when does the psak change? The practical psak of Beis Din only changes at the end of round four. The Gemara's Taritz was, no, don't look at it that way. Look at it in terms of the underlying status of the item. We'll hold on to questions for a moment. Now, Tolis goes on to say, this is, it remains curious, avagav demilsa below taimuhu. That analogy the Gemara is making, the Havamina, it's hard to understand why that's a valid way of putting the pieces together, and indeed, as Rafi pointed out, the Gemara's response is, Hachi Ashta, why would you have made such a tsushtal? There's a much better way to look at it. Don't look at when the phenomenologically, when does the actual psak, specific psak of Beis Din change? Look at the underlying lambdas. When does the status of the item change? And that was the Gemara said, oh, that's an absurd kasha. But at least we can understand the words of the kasha. The kasha was, let's look when the psak changed. The Gemara says, why are you looking at phenomena? Don't look superficially. Look more deeply at what's driving the psak. And when you think about driving the psak, the psak only changed after Negicha Revius, but what drives it, the status change, obviously changes right after the psak of Negicha Shlishis. Now, Tosas also says something curious. There's one curious line here, which is that they said, what they said in the Kasha, which remember, the Tosas Kasha means the Gemara's Teretz, because it's a Kasha on a Kasha. Right. The Tosis Teretz is explain the Gemara's Kasha. Tosis Kasha is really saying, well, we should have gotten to the Teretz. What do they say? We should have said, what was the analogy? Well, we should be looking at status change. What type of status change? Tosis suggested why we think, when Pruna is where we're going to get to, and indeed Tosis will say this on Amud Beis, that that's the underlying thought in the next stage of the Gemara, is just like the Shar changes from being not Becheskas Nachin to being Becheskas Nachin, so to the fellow changes, the Marakama changes into being Becheskas Shatkan. He's Becheskas Silent. Becheskas Silent. Now that's curious. What, how does that help? Becheskas Nachin, I understand. Now the Shar is a Nogaya. Now he's presumed to be a gorer. He's a wild animal. We didn't previously assume he's a wild animal. Now we're assuming it's a wild animal. Whatever happens now, we're going to treat it differently. Your wild animal attack, not your docile animal attack. But I understand, when the Marakama is presumed to be silent, and therefore what? Therefore, I assume he's going to be silent again? Well, guess what? He wasn't silent again. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in Beis Din. Yes, after 3 years of him not contesting my being here, we might work on the assumption he's never going to speak up again. But number one, I don't know why that matters. And number two, it ends up not being true because half a year later, he did come to Beis Din. By the Cheskas Nachin, now he's the Cheskas Nachin, and he's talking to his Nogeich again. It fits the pattern. But I understand, you're saying, for some reason, it matters to us that we're going to presume he's silent, as though that changes the din. And if it does, But he wasn't. If he was silent forever, we would never end up in Beis Din. There would be no Mishnah, there would be no case. Why is there a case? Because after 3+ years, after 4, 5, 6 years, the Marakama finally woke up and dragged you to Beis Din and said, what are you doing? Am I lamb? I bought by Ara. So he stopped being Shosek. So what does it help there with the Cheska Shatkin? But obviously he's no longer a Shatkin. So what does it help to be a Shatkin? And it doesn't last. By definition, it didn't last. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in Beis Din. That's a very, very strange part of Tosis. I think we're going to pause here for now. We're going to see, though, consistently, the next Tosis is going to pick up in the next stage of the Gemara. And we're going to see a Rashi who differs. We'll see a Ben Yonah. We're going to see this is opening up the underlying lumdus of the subject.